World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Anybody but me feel like you're in a vortex? I feel like I'm in a vortex. Spencer, that'd be a good word. Look that up a minute. Vortex. I feel like we're in a vortex. Me, personally, feel like I'm in a vortex. The stuff that's going on around me, things are happening so quickly. Here in the Ohio area, there it is. Vortex is Latin for whirlpool. A whirling or circular motion of water, forming a kind of cavity in the center of the circle. It's a vortex is the, when you drain the swamp, when you pull the plug in your bathtub, that's the vortex. I feel like we're in one of those. And I feel like we're in one of those because I think we are in the midst right now. Lord, just let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight. We're in the middle of one of the greatest unveilings and revealings probably in all of modern history going on right now. And all the reason it's happening is because we are, we're really, I don't know, a few years, 10 years. This is just off the top of my head. Okay. Bear with me. The information age. I mean, I don't know what they called the information age, but I'm going to tell you something. We're in an information age right now. We're in a real vortex of what's going on. If Elon Musk is a good guy, which we still don't know. If Donald Trump is a good guy, which we still don't know, we would have to confess this, that there is a swirling, a hurricane, a tornado going on in Washington, D.C. beyond what we could ever imagine. Now, it's always been a little bit stormy, but then they've been able to control that hurricane. They've been able to control that funnel cloud. Something really, 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 really big going on. And, you know, we could go a lot of different directions with it. And I don't claim to be a biblical expert, so don't come here. But I'm telling you something. There is something going on regarding truth. And I want you to know this. I believe this, that in this whirlpool, there's going to be things that are going to be exposed that we are not going to believe. We're going to say, no, he wasn't that. No. No, don't tell. He would. No, certainly not. They would. No, they weren't involved with it. No, I'm just telling you. You better buckle up. You better buckle down and understand exactly what it is that's going on around us. Here in Ohio, Michelle and I are at the event in Wisconsin this weekend. Folks, here in Ohio, just south of us, south of a little bit, well, just Kentucky, Tennessee, that area down through there. They're talking about a 500-year rain event, meaning they're going to get so much rain. I saw today 15 inches of rain. I'm not making this up. 15 inches of rain falling over a two-year period, beginning, I think it's tomorrow. They call it a 500-year rain, meaning that in 500 years, it'll never rain like this ever again. 1,500 years. Or I'm sorry, 500 years. Is it going to materialize? I don't know. What would that look like? And I think it's part of, again, think about it. Think about a tornado and a whirlwind and all that stuff that's going on. There's nothing. The Lord's going to shake everything, folks. The world's going to shake everything. I said to Michelle as I came down here, with what Trump's doing, good or bad, I'm not going to debate any of that. Good or bad, what Trump's going on, it's cataclysmic. The amount of fake money that Americans have been spending, it's not even real money, it's printed money. The amount of monopoly money that has been being spent being cut off. Do you have any idea how many people making really good livings doing nothing except advancing the kingdom of darkness? That money's going to be cut off. Huh? And they said, well, it's going to lead to a recession. I suppose it is going to lead to a recession. The only reason it's going to lead to a recession is because it isn't even really money to begin with. You didn't need money. It's paper. They give it to you, and you think it's money, and I think it's money, and we spend it, but it ain't money. Did you guys see, Spencer, pull up number one for me. Wake up there real quickly.
Working hard for fake money.
I'm going somewhere today. Stay with me because it's going to be really, really good, I think. I hope it is. Pull up number one. Do you guys see this? Huh? Thousands of stores. Thousands. Spencer, I move that to about the 9 minute mark real quick here. 9 minute mark. Let's put it at 1.5 speed. I just want you to know this. Thousands of stores are closing. Thousands of stores. Why? I don't know about you. I don't know the last time I bought something at Walmart. Just like you, I buy it on Amazon. And what's going on? Well, Walmart's gone broke because Amazon's selling everything to everybody. Because you don't even have to go shopping. It comes to your door, right? So real quickly, I'm just going to watch a couple minutes of this. Thousands of stores are closing. Why? Because, folks, money isn't even real. It isn't even real. And so Walmart has all this, there's everything stocked on their shelves and ain't nobody buying it. Sam Walton. He started the idea of chain stores like this, rolling over in his grave. Real quickly, just play a couple minutes of this, Spence.
Well, was instant. The next grocery store, an hour away. For 70-year-old Clara, who doesn't drive, it's a nightmare. I'd walk to Walmart for milk and bread, she says. Now I'm begging rides or going hungry. Jobs evaporated too. 153 locals gone. The diner next door, once packed with Walmart shoppers, is half empty. In California, 25 retailers are shuttering thousands of stores, turning towns into ghost zones. These aren't just stats. Their lives upended. Kids missing school supplies. Families rationing food. Rural food deserts are spreading. And the loss stings deepest where options were already thin. So here's the big challenge. Can retail survive this apocalypse? It's a million-dollar problem. With stores closing left and right, think Macy's, Neiman Marcus, even Party City. Is retail doomed? Over 15,000 closures in 2025 doubles 2024's tally, and that's got folks whispering retail apocalypse again. Back in the 2010s, we saw waves of bankruptcies, and now it's like deja vu on steroids. The stakes are high. If giants like Walmart can't hack it, what happens to jobs? To towns relying on these stores as economic anchors? Consumer spending's already shaky. Forbes predicts growth with stubborn inflation into 2025, adding global risks, trade wars, climate disruptions, and it's a recipe for chaos. Retail is staring down a cliff, and the question is, can it climb back up? Or are we watching the end of retail shopping as we know it? But hold up, it's not all doom and gloom. Some retailers are throwing punches to stay in the game. One trick's the omni-channel approach, blending online and in-store vibes. Nordstrom's killing it here, beefing up their website while keeping stores sleek and inviting. You order online, pick up in store, boom, best of both worlds.
Okay, you can stop it. Lifesaver too. Put it in the chat, because this is really, really good, folks. It's a vortex, baby. It's a vortex in more places than we. So let's say Donald Trump comes in and he closes down all of these fraudulent jobs that people have had. They've been fraudulent jobs. They haven't even been going to work. However, they've been getting themselves a lot of money, a lot of money. And so Trump comes along and Doge comes along and they say, listen, we're cutting off all of it, cutting it off. Folks, this is real people earning real money, not working, earning real money. The corruption is beyond what we can even imagine, and it is going to have consequences. Now listen, here's the battle. Here's the battle before you. When things start to get tight, wait a minute. Somewhere in that Bible, it tells us to count the cost. Count the cost. In other words, before you get involved in something, you better decide whether or not you're willing to pay the price that goes along with it. And so right now, we're in the middle of this cataclysmic reshuffling vortex 500-year flood event coming. And I know people, when it gets tough, don't want to go back to the old way. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the hardest thing with, see, look, reconstruction is always harder than new construction. We'll say that again. You can go out and you can buy an old property, an old house, and you want to fix it up. You want to call it a fixer-upper. But when you go out there and you buy a new house and you want to fix it up, it's hard because, first of all, you got to tear it down. You got to go in and you got to pull out all the old boards. You got to pull out all the old piping, whatever it have to be. Reconstruction is always harder than new construction. Because those of us who call ourselves Christians have been comfortable for so long, Americans in general, look, we ain't interested in new reconstruction. We don't want it. And so there'll be many, 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 many. I'm not prophesying. I don't have a word from the Lord. We're going to see, I'm telling you, by the millions, people turn on Donald Trump. They're going to blame him. And he is saying, Doge is saying, dude, we got to clean up before we rebuild. We can't rebuild till we clean up this mess. And what is it you hear everybody screaming and hollering? Well, why is he cutting this? And why is he? Why? Because it's hitting home to them. It's hitting, and I'm telling you, as you look at me right now, it's going to impact you as well. It's going to impact you as well. We are right now in the midst of the battle between the two kings of this earth set themselves, and the rulers are taking counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And I don't have an answer to you. I don't have a solution for you. I don't know what to do. So gold is over three, goes up every day, and who knows where it's gone. But let's say you buy all the gold in the world. What do you trade it for? American dollars? I don't know if I can trade it for anything. I got it. I can hold the gold, but what can I do with it? I don't know. And if I'm not a financial advisor, but I'm going to tell you something. If you stick your head out the door, I don't know where you live. If you stick your head out the door in your neighborhood, I'm going to tell you this: very few people are prepared. Very few people are prepared for what's about to come. So I'm not doom or gloom. I've been telling you this for as long as you've been watching this. I don't think the end of the world is near. I think the end of the world as Americans have known it is near. I think God is going to have to spank us a bit to get us back to our first love, which is him, the love of God, the love of truth, the love of biblical principles. We have to return. If we don't return to that, we ain't going to make it. We're not going to make it. And if you're sitting around and you're banking, I don't care. Listen, I don't care what your theology is. If you're sitting around and you're banking on the rapture, all right, that sure is something to go all in with. And as I've said to people a number of times, if you think the rapture is going to be here in the next couple of years, and do me a favor, sign over all of your stuff right now to me. Sign over your house and your cars and every belonging that you have. Sign it over to me if you think that's where we're going. Because I'm going to tell you something. Going to be a lot of people going to be, as they say, left holding the bag if the theology that they've been telling us isn't true. I'm heading somewhere today. I don't know. All I know is there's 44,000 different denominations and 18 different theologies, and everybody thinks they have the right one. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't know. I'm going to take you someplace. Go ahead, Jack. Your hand's up. I don't want it to fall off.
It's falling off, Coach. It's just falling right off. Hey, look, make the correlation between the church producing disciples and selling or retailing happy. Our entire philosophy in this country today has been perverted. We were never a retail market. We were a manufacturing, a production economy. Yep. And it's been shifted. And so 50 years ago, an old timer said, when the discounters, who's going to discount the discounters when the discounters are discounting the discounters? The retail was destined to fail. Manufacturing was the core, and it's flipped, just like the church.
That's right. So there's no manufacturing in America, or hardly any now. And Amazon, hey, folks, do you order Amazon? I do. Why do I order Amazon? It's cheaper. I don't have to leave my house. And Amazon's selling stuff to people everywhere. And Walmart's gone out of business, and Kmart's gone out of business. And the local mom and pop business is struggling to sit right. Folks, we are in a vortex. That's the only way I can explain it. Okay, so this is kind of, I had a conversation with Craig Mickle yesterday. He talked my ear off. You have a conversation with Craig, and he'll take you, wow. You'll be saying, wow, when you're done. And we're getting ready to do a new action. And before, sorry, Coach Argan, it's in you. Yeah, that's a good one, Dave. I got that. Gino, go ahead. Your hands up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to, you brought attention to me. I don't know if anybody's ever read the book, The Secrets of the Federal Reserve by Esther. No. I mean, I don't even remember what all I read in it and whatever, but it's going like only so many. Their desire was to only have so many companies everybody worked for, and you would follow their guidelines, and that's where it's heading.
That's where it's heading, man. It's heading. So I'm going to introduce a new action to you real quickly, and then I'm going to back up a little bit, okay? So pull up, if you could. It says new action. Now, I'm going to explain something to you. Here's what we're going to do. Thank you for it was Mel and Craig, and I don't know if Randy had anything to do with this or not. A 20-way at one day intercession for God's will. For God's will. And here's what we're going to do. Here's what we would like you. You know we're doers here, right? We're doers. Now, if you want to argue theology, go for it. Go for it. Go for it. I know this. I've seen some of the actions that we've done here bear great fruit. And our only hope is a spiritual answer. Our only hope. So Craig came up. I'm going to do this real quickly, and then stay with me a second. I want to show you something here. First month of Nissan Abib of 2025. I could stop right there. Does anybody have any idea what that is? Nissan or Abib? We call you to fast and intercede for God's will on earth and in modern day Persia or Iran, which, you know, everybody believes that the end of the wars, end of days is going to start in Iran. Okay. So a 21-day fast in those days. I, Daniel, was mourning 3-4 weeks. I ate no pleasant food, nor meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So Nisan 324, I'm going to talk about that here in a second, bear with me. Beginning of the third day of the month, of the third day of the first month, on the 24th day of the month, Daniel describes the vision of the glorious man. He was delayed for 21 days while he battled the prince of Persia. That's in scripture. Then he said, do not fear, Daniel, for the first day that you sent your heart to understand, to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. God answers. And I've come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked me for 21 days. Behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. This is Daniel 12. So today in modern day Persia is Iran. The United States has 1/3 of our B-2 bombers stationed in Diego Garcia. Did you know that? And the 3 of our aircraft carrier naval task forces that are or will very soon be in the waters of the Persian Gulf. Why? Because America appears to be preparing for war. Appears to be. Scrolling down. So here's our action. I want you to read Daniel 9 and 10. Fast for 21 days. Now, friends, a fast could be complete fast or it could be partial fast. You could fast. You say, you know, I really love popcorn. We have popcorn every night. We're not going to eat popcorn. You could say, no, I spend all day on the internet. I'm going to fast. Whatever it would be, mix in some type of fasting with it. We're going to fast for 21 days from April 2nd to the 23rd. intercede and pray for God's will for God's children, modern day Persia, and read one psalm per day, starting with Psalm 2 on April 2nd, which is today, ending with Psalm 23 on April 23rd. And it says, and I prayed to the Lord my God, made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him, with those who keep his commandment. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Daniel 9:45. So, in one accord, scroll back up the top a little bit. We want you to read. We will read here in a second. Daniel went too fast for me there, brother. Daniel 9, and it's down at the bottom. Keep going. There you are. Read Daniel 9 and 10. And then I'm going to fast for 21 days. Now, I'm going to call time out and we'll circle back here in a minute. I was amazed today at my own ignorance. My own ignorance of the Jewish calendar. Did you ever stop and think about what made this today April 2nd? April 2nd. Back in 100 AD, were they celebrating April 2nd? No, they weren't. No, they were going by a calendar. And for the most part, Craig, maybe you can help me, because I told you I got into this morning. I thought, dude, wow. Wow. It was a biblical calendar. A biblical calendar. And the biblical calendar was basically based on the seasons, the times and the seasons. The biblical calendar had to do with planting and harvesting and all that kind of stuff. And we don't go by that anymore. Then don't. So I got some things I want to show you here real quickly. Pull up number 6 for me. Bear with me. And hey, anybody wants to add some? Look, hang on. Coach Dave. No. Coach Dave ain't getting into Jewishism. No, I'm not. But Nisan. This is the month of Nisan. You might know that. According to the biblical calendar, we are now. See, are we following the American calendar? Are we following, what calendar are we following? What calendar is all the world on now? 12 months, 365 days, and a leap year. How long? Has that been the calendar forever? Is that the way it's been? Well, so I went, this definition, again, I'm learning with you, all right? Nisan is the first month of the ecclesiastical year in Hebrew calendar. This is the new year. April 1st is the new year, corresponding to March, April, and the Gregorian calendar. See, there's different calendars. Hebrew calendar, Gregorian calendar. The name Nisan is of Babylonian origin, adopted during the Jewish exile in Babylon. In the Bible, it is also referred to as Abib, which means ear of grain, indicating the time of the barley harvest. Stay with me. What's the biblical significance? Not of April 2nd, but of Nisan. Holds significant importance in the biblical narrative, particularly in the context of Exodus and the establishment of the Passover. God commands Moses and Aaron in Exodus 12:2, this month is to be the beginning of months for you. So Nisan, which is right now, it is the first month of the year in the Jewish calendar. You with me? Everybody with me out there? Yesterday was New Year's Day. Yesterday was New Year's Day, according to the Jewish calendar. The most notable event in Nisan is the Passover, which commemorates the Israelites' deliverance from slavery in Egypt. The Passover lamb is to be selected on the 10th day of Nisan and slaughtered on the 14th day, as described in Exodus 12. The Feast of Unleavened Bread begins on the 15th day of Nisan, and lasts for 7 days, during which no leavened bread is to be eaten. Let me stop here a second. I want somebody out there to be honest and say, I ain't never heard any of this. I'm going to wait for somebody to say that.
Boom. Boom.
I've never heard of it.
Wow. Keep going. Keep going. Scroll on down. So historical events, several key events in Jewish history are associated with Nisan. According to the Book of Esther, the decree for the annihilation of the Jews was issued in the month of Nisan. Additionally, the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem by Nehemiah began in Nisan. In the New Testament connections, Nisan is also significant in the New Testament, as it is the month during which Jesus Christ was crucified and resurrected. Not in April. By the way, did you ever think about this? I'm going to test you and see how smart you are. When somebody asks you, when's Thanksgiving? You would say, third Thursday in November. When's Christmas? December 25th. When's 4th of July? 4th of July is July 4th. Okay, when's Easter? When's Easter? What day's Easter? I said, well, Coach, it could fall in a lot of different places. Coach, let me see. It's 40 days after the first full moon following the winter solstice. I think something like that, right? Right? So Easter is celebrated in the Gregorian calendar based on the moon. Moon. Today. Easter isn't every day, isn't the same day every year, right? Okay, so Nisan is also significant in the New Testament. The Last Supper, which is believed to be the Passover meal, took place on the 14th of Nisan. The crucifixion of Jesus, as seen as a fulfillment of the Passover lamb, symbolizes the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Nisan marks the beginning of spring in Israel, a time of renewal and new beginnings. The agricultural activities during this month include the barley harvest, which is the first grain to ripen. This is reflected in the offering of the first fruits, known as the Feast of First Fruits, which occurs during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In addition to Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Nisan is a time of preparation and purification for the Jewish people. It's a period of reflection on God's deliverance and faithfulness, as well as time to renew one's commitment to the covenant with God. Time out a minute. Let me ask you something. Is this Nisan or April? Which is it? Which is it? Conclusion. Nisan, as the first month of the Hebrew religious calendar, is a time of profound spiritual significance, marked by the historical events, religious observances, and agricultural activities. It serves as a reminder of God's deliverance in the hope of new beginnings. Angie, I feel you busting. Tell us a story, not a life story. I got more to put on top. Go ahead.
Of course. I just want to offer a point of informational correction, because the Jewish calendar and the Hebrew calendar naming of the months are not the same.
Unbelievable. And so certainly the Gregorian calendar. So we're talking about three different calendars here?
Yes, because the Hebrew calendar, which is the one God established, does not name the months. They are the first month, the second month. They're ordinal namings, right? It's accounting. So in the first month, on the 14th day, that is Pesach, that is Passover. What you're looking at here is the Jewish calendar. That is very true. But those names, as it says here, came out of Babylon. Those are Babylonian names, not Hebrew names. And so it's important to understand that. Boy, you're diving into calendars. You can go really deep into the weeds on that. But the Greco-Roman calendar, the Hebrew calendar, and the Jewish calendar are all very different. And then, of course, then you get into the Chinese calendar, right? Like, there's a lot of different calendars. But that Hebrew calendar is not, what they're saying is Hebrew is not, is actually the Babylonian counting, naming of the month. And they have a name in there called Tammuz, the month of Tammuz, which is the Babylonian god, son of Nimrod and Semiramis, right?
All right, you got my head spinning. I'm just trying to help people. What we're trying to do here is to help you and me understand that things have changed throughout history. And we're living in a time where we're going by the Gregorian calendar. I think that's the right one, which, by the way, the Pope, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Pull up number three. Just sit tight and you'll figure out why we're so confused. This is 3 minutes put it at 1.5 speed. This is the history of our modern calendar. Hang on a minute. Hey, Vinny, give me a boom. Say, Coach, I never knew any of this. Somebody be honest out there. Starting with me, I never knew any of that. I sort of knew it, but I never knew it. Anybody going to say that for me?
Coach, well, I knew about the 13th month calendar, but boom.
Okay, thanks, Vinny. Go ahead.
Boom, boom. So why do we celebrate January 1st as the new year? Why are half of our months named after numbers and the other after Roman religious practices and leaders?
It's only 3 minutes. Why do we celebrate January 1st as a new year? Why do we? Go ahead.
This is the new year. Why are half of our months named after numbers and the other after Roman religious practices and leaders? Have we always counted days, weeks, months, and years like this? What's with that Mayan calendar thing? There were a number of calendars in early human history. You had the Hebrew calendar, the Egyptian calendar, the Greek calendar, Chinese calendar, Babylonian calendar, and others. The one we use today in the Western world originated from the Roman calendar. Incidentally, the early Roman calendar evolved from that of the Greeks. It was basically a lunar calendar with an extra month inserted every so often to keep the months in step with the seasons. They were named Martius, Aprilis, Maia, Junius, Quintilis, Sextilis, September, October, November, December, Januarius, and Februarius. These names have pretty much been the same since the past 2,500 years.
Keep going.
Unlike today, the Roman year began with March. The calendar consisted of 355 days, which was about 12 lunar months. The intercalary month, Mercedonius, was added when needed at the end of February. So when that happened, February was shortened to 23 days. Julius Caesar took it upon himself to bring the calendar in line with the seasons. He ordered three intercalary months should be added at the end of the year, and rearranged the length of the months, giving them their present duration. He eventually rejected the lunar month entirely and adopted the solar year, which had an average length of 365.25 days. The four-year leap year cycle was added to resolve the 25th of a day. The reforms took place on January 1, 45 BCE. This changed the beginning of the year from March 1st to January 1st, as we know it today. The calendar was called the Julian calendar, for obvious reasons. The seven-day week was followed by Judaism and Islam. The week was set around a day of rest and religious practices. Romans didn't have a day of rest, so their eight-day week cycled around market days. Eventually, astrologers assigned a planet to rule each of the 24 hours of the day in a continual sequence. This led to the Roman seven-day cycle. Saturn, the Sun, Moon, Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, and Venus became Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. The names of the first 6 months are partially derived through the fact that certain Roman gods had feast days or time centered around them. For example, Janus was the god of beginning, so January was used for the name of the first month of the year. The month of March was the time that soldiers would begin war, so it was named after the god of war, Mars. The other 2 months were named after Roman leaders, and the rest of the months were just named after the number of the month that they were. October, 8th month, November, 9th month. The Julian calendar was simple, which made everything seem fine and dandy, but there was a small problem, a problem that added up every year. The 365.25 day year is 11 minutes and 15 seconds longer than the true length of the tropical year. After 128 years, the season begins a whole day earlier. The Egyptians, Greeks, and Romans didn't have an issue with days not lining up perfectly, but the Christian church did. You see, they wanted to make sure that the religious holidays they celebrated were on their actual days. Pope Gregory XIII took it upon himself to resolve this problem and came up with a Gregorian calendar. The changes he enacted resolved the shift at the beginning of each year, set a standard for the length of a year in days, minutes, and seconds, among other things. The changes were not accepted in England and the British colonies in America until 1752. By then, the English calendar was off by 11 days compared to the calendar of continental Europe. Because of this, dates of events such as the timeline of historical figures will often have two dates. The Gregorian is called the New Style, and the Julian the Old Style. The birth of Isaac Newton was the 25th of December, 1642, in accordance to the Old Style, but was the 4th of January, 1643, in accordance to the New Style. In the Middle Ages, New Year celebrations were abolished due to their pagan origins, but the celebrations were started again in 1582. The modern calendar can't be credited to one specific person. It's pretty much the Gregorian calendar, but with an addition of dates for Christian celebrations and the way years are numbered. Oh, and about the 2012 Mayan prophecy stating the end of the world, don't worry about that, it's a bunch of bunk.
Boom! Oh my goodness, that makes my head spin. So, is today really April 2nd? I mean, is it really? I mean, it is by the Gregorian calendar, but one of the points that we try to make here all the time is not everything they told us is true. Not everything they told us is true. And so Craig's been filling my ear. I'm not complaining, Craig. With Nissan and by the way, pull up number four. Did you know? Here are the names of the Hebrew, the Jewish months of the year. Go ahead.
All right, let's take a tour of the Jewish year. Now, the Torah says that the year that we call, the month we call Rosh Hashanah, is actually the seventh month of the year. That's called Tishrei. That comes in the fall, September. So learn Tishrei.
Hang on.
Okay, that's Rosh Hashanah is the...
Hang on. Jewish is not Hebrew. All right, don't confuse those two. Go ahead.
First day, Yom Kippur is the 10th day, Sukkot's the 15th day, and then it goes on for 8 or 9 more days, depending if you're in Israel or not. That's Tishrei. But then we have Cheshvan, and there's no holidays in Cheshvan. And that's how you spell Cheshvan in English. Then comes Kislev. And the 25th day of Kislev is, it's always December, it's Hanukkah. That's Kislev. Then comes Tevet. There's a semi-fast day in Tevet, but no celebratory holidays. Tevet. Then Shvat. On the 15th day of Shvat is the new year for trees. Then Adar. On the middle of Adar comes the holiday of Purim. And if we have a leap year, which we do 7 times in 19 years, we add an extra month of Adar. That's because Jews have a lunar calendar, which is 354 days, and we lose 11 days by the sun every year, and so we need to intercalate it by adding a month periodically.
Okay, stop it. Stop. Hey, put it in the chat.
Man, the Torah says...
Huh? Is this unbelievable or what? Is this really unbelievable? And that the average person sitting in here right now, including your host, never really thought about all this. Never really thought... What makes this April 2nd? Well, that's the calendar we go by here. Yeah, I know. But is that the biblical calendar? Is it really 2025? 2025, according to who? According to who? What? Man, oh man, oh man. So that's why. When you come and join, I'm going to open it up here because I'm new at this stuff too. To be honest with you, right? I'm new at this too, but I'm finding this out that the more you dig into stuff, you find out that a lot of stuff that we have been taught is traditionalism, not Christianity, folks. Traditionalism.
Amen.
Passed from one generation to another generation. Religious observances that may not be biblical. Now, got that? Yeah, Mel, man-made calendars, man-made Father's Day and Mother's Day and 4th of July and Thanksgiving. And that from God's perspective, if we could ever really zoom in on God's timetable, zoom in on it, it would be really, really, these calendars would be really, really significant. But we're so Americanized. Well, like right here, right now, in America, in Ohio, where I'm sitting, on 4-2, the weather's changing. I walked outside this morning. It was 38 degrees. I look at the thermometer. I look at my forecast. It's going to be 70 today. So it's going to go from 35 degrees to 70 in one day. Because why? We're in the midst of the changing of the seasons. Normally, you come here in August, you're going to go to bed at 80 and get up at 90. I mean, right? Yes, no, right? So we are so conditioned by what? By what they've told us. And we're trapped into a continuum that may not be exact. Look, I'm not questioning the Bible, whether the Bible is true. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, we follow a lot of biblical traditions that aren't biblical, not the way we follow. That's the point I'm trying to make. And I want you to know this. I'm as ignorant about it as anybody else. Okay, I don't get it all, man. I don't get it. Okay, I'm going to get Craig in because he's the one who planted this. But let me get some others in before Craig. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Coach, it's really crazy. I got this. I was on a show with Tom Cohen yesterday. If you don't know who Tom Cohen is, please look him up. Basically, everything we were told in medicine is a lie. And all I can get in my head is garbage in, garbage out. right?
Amen.
And I just posted it, but it's a vortex. Our heart is a vortex. It is not a pump, right? And so I posted it for people to kind of look at, because everything, you know, this whole concept of antibodies, they've never been isolated, Coach. It's all BS. And I always thought to myself, all this crap we were taught in medical school, how easy it was to bring in this concept of abortion as nothing but a procedure, right?
That's baby, not baby's not alive.
It's a death note, Coach. It's a death note.
It is. It is. Oh man, this is so good. Hang on here a second. Oh, I love it when I don't even know what I'm talking about. Rochelle, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. I feel like I don't know what I'm talking about more often than not.
Amen. Rochelle, that's by design, by the way. Go ahead.
As long as you know you don't know what you're talking about, you're okay.
You're okay.
I wanted to point out something when you're talking about the feast days. Okay. And he will attempt to change times and seasons. Uh-huh. And they've done that. And the reason why is because they want to hide the way these feast days are associated with Jesus. This is meant to like smack these Jewish people in the face that this is your Messiah. And they still missed him. So, you know, Passover, we all know what that was, Jesus's death as the Lamb of God and they taking away the sins of the world. And then unleavened bread, that represented Jesus's sinless life. You know, the leaven, no leaven. And then, you know, you got your first fruits. That's Jesus's resurrection from the dead, promising that there'll be more like him. And then Pentecost is the 50 days after Jesus comes back. Remember, he brings the Holy Spirit 50 days after. And then the next one is trumpets. And that's when he comes back, which some people call the rapture, but we'll skip that. And then the Day of Atonement. Anyway, these all are meant to point to Jesus, and they have blinded us from that, and they have rearranged the calendar on purpose so we don't understand the significance of these days and how they fit in. And with Passion Week coming up, you guys study this, you'll be blown away how the scriptures come alive, and you'll see how Jesus, we are healed by Jesus's stripes, which were him being beat. And all of these words make sense. They're physical. They have vibration to them. They're real. Anyway, don't let them hide the true meaning of the calendar from you. It is because these are our appointed times. This isn't for the Jewish people. This is for God's people.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vinny.
It's amazing, Coach. I think we can put this whole thing together very easily. Think about this. They changed the true star of the year to another day, but they still had to celebrate the day, right?
Right.
Because people have muscle memory. People remember celebrating yesterday as the New Year's, the star of the new year,
right,
in ancient times. And they wouldn't forget that. It's just how it is. So I'll leave you with a question. Do they celebrate April Fool's Day in Africa?
No, of course not, right? Of course not. Amen. Amen. Craig, listen, by the way, Spencer, get ready for me if you can. Go to Bible Gateway or whatever and get Daniel 9 and 10 ready for me, if you will. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, Coach, I wouldn't recommend you read that because that's going to take you to the rest of the show, but I would go read Psalm 2. I think it's for people to read Daniel 9 and 10, not necessarily on show.
Okay.
Here's the thing, Lord. Genesis 1 says, God made the sun, moon, and stars for signs, seasons, days, and years. Psalm 19 was one of the things we're going to read. It says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day they utter speech. Okay, so let's go by how God has given us to reconcile time. The sun, the moon, and the stars. And so we made reference. We can see when there's a new moon. Can't see it. We can see when there's a full moon. All right. That's the time that we need to reconcile what the Bible's saying, because that's what the Bible goes by. Point made. Yes. The names were attached, okay, to the first month. Okay. Did God tell him to do those names? No, a man did those things. And some of those names, Tammuz, are foreign. We know what they're, but they're bad names. But the problem that you're going to come into is if you're going to read the story and it says it was the month of Nisan or it was the month of Tishri or whatever, you're not going to even know when this story is taking place. That's so you point, need to yeah. reconcile that like a roadmap. If I took you to Russia and I put you down there, you would probably go down and say, well, okay, is this map, you know, is this an inch, 2 miles, or is it 500 miles? You need a roadmap to understand what the Bible's telling us. Here's the point that we need to think about, okay? And I talked to you about this yesterday. When these are big events in the Bible, okay? And I pointed this out in the letter that I wrote to you, okay? I said if the Revolutionary War started in January, if the 1812 war started in January, if World War I started in January and two, and the Korean, okay, you get the point. If all these wars started in January in America's history, would January stick out in your mouth and your mind? As
sure would.
It sure would, okay. And this is the point. A lot of events happened during this first month, which we now call Nisan, okay? And this is when the Passover happened. There are 2 days in Jerusalem that are 12 hours of day and light. They don't change. It never changes. March 16th in our calendar and September 26th. Go sit in Jerusalem, watch the sun, and you're going to come up to 12 hours of day and night. When the Exodus happened, that would be the spring. The Bible says in spring, the kings go to war. Well, when spring? Obviously, it's attached to crops. Right? You talked about the barley harvest. So we can feel confident that we're in this time right now. We're in the beginning of spring and time, and this is the first month.
Which is the new year, right? The new year is spring. It would make sense, wouldn't it, friends? That
right.
The new year would be a time of planning and all that stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
And the whole reason, you know, God said, make this your first month, okay, is because he had just come out of Egypt. That's why it's his first month, okay? And so the whole thing about the Daniel thing is if you go to the book of Daniel in chapter 10, it says in the first month of Nisan, okay, I fasted for 21 days. And at the end of the 24th day, this glorious man came and he explained the vision to me. That's why we're doing the fast. We are literally mimicking the time right now that Daniel was fasting and praying. And we're using, yes, the Hebrew calendar. But more importantly, just think of it this way. When God knew that the firstborn were going to die and he was going to have all those Jewish, Jacob's children, people grab all their stuff at 2 a.m. in the morning and say, start packing because we're heading out in the morning. Pharaoh said, we're leaving. Do you think that happened on a new moon when there was no light? Remember, you didn't have flashlights back then. Didn't have LED lighting. Or do you think it was on a full moon? Logically, to me, I would think God would make that happen on a full moon. Because you could walk around at night in a full moon and you don't need it. But if you've ever been out in bum F wherever and you don't have any light and there's not a new moon, go try walking out there in the forest and see how that works for you.
Yeah, amen.
So I believe that the Exodus happened on a full moon. And I would even venture to say, although we don't have a biblical line I can attach it to, I bet you it was a blood moon. I bet you all those people died and they looked up and all of a sudden the moon turned blood red. We've witnessed that. Okay. And so that's why you come up and you look whenever the Passover is and the Jewish people observe it right now, they always do it on a full moon. And do you know what Easter is? Easter is the first Sunday after a full moon. That's what Easter is. That's how they define it. That's why it floats all up and down this whole, you know, why is Easter at the end of April this year and it's at the beginning this year? Because they're always using the moon. So the whole point about this is we have very significant things going over in Iran. And if you want to do a Daniel fast and pray and intercede, not only for that, but for your own family, I would suggest you join us.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so I misread this mail. We're supposed to, all of us, read Daniel 9 and 10. And then, as you fast, you're going to begin one psalm per day, starting with Psalm 2 on April 2nd, which is today. Got that, friends? And then tomorrow, we'll read Psalm 3. Got it? We'll get all the psalms in. So if you could right now, Spence, pull up Psalm 2. Now, friends, read Daniel 9 and 10 because it'll explain it, okay? Now, you're going to fast. Some of us are going to fast. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be food. It doesn't have to be all day. It has to be a time, a certain cutout that you are dedicating specifically to God. A form of sacrifice of some kind. It could be time. It could be food. It could be activity. You could give up sex for 24, whatever it would be. That could be a form of sacrifice, okay? So as you do that, I'll get you in a second, Randy. As you do that, you read Psalm 2 beginning today and throughout the Psalms. And we'll end up with Psalm 23 on April 23rd. Amazing. Randy, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, I want to try to tie up a little bit of this and just connect it, okay? Spiritual, natural to spiritual, okay? Craig, what Craig is trying to do, he's not worshiping numerology. He's not worshiping Jewish tradition. He's trying to show us how that you can see what God has done in the past by his Old Testament word, and you can transfer that into the now time, into this our realm, a spiritual realm, where we walk and live in the spirit. And it's not bondage. He's trying to confirm what God has done. So God is we're not trying to put him in a box. We're trying to see his patterns. And look, Coach, truth passes through time, okay? Nothing changes it. It's absolute. It'll be the same in a million years as it was yesterday. But God's templates that he used to make the creation, he used 7 days. Why 7 days? Well, I don't really know for sure, but I know he did it. And you follow all the things that he's done, and you realize, oh, he loves the number 3. He loves the number 7 and 10 and 12. Why? Oh, those are just perfect numbers. Well, when you put these in time, that what he did in a 40-year wilderness journey in the desert with the Hebrews, he did it again. Jesus fasted 40 days. Jesus walked on the earth 40 days. There's something about that number God loves, and he puts it in time, Coach, and it's still as good tomorrow as it was 1,000 years ago. What we're trying to understand is look at a natural picture and see it and go, oh, connect the dots here. Okay, well, oh, wow, this is maybe happening today, similar to what it did 1,000 years ago. We're trying to keep God in the perspective and understand his nature and his ways. So that's all Craig's doing. Craig still is a man of the gospel, a New Testament man. We push this. But we have to understand, we're not going back into the law like the Hebrews and then the rituals and the methods. We're not trying to live those out. We're trying to just say, there they are. Here's where we're at today. And now some of us have got back into that bondage of Jewish traditionalism. And thank you for bringing that up, Coach. But you don't have to. And if you'll read Galatians chapter 4, 1 through 11, God gives them a very, very nice picture of a time narrative. And Paul is showing them, Coach, don't go back and start trying to worship me again through the rituals and through the dates and the calendars. That's not what my purpose is now. Will you worship me 365 days a year?
Let me jump in here because I'm running out of time and I have to leave right now.
That's the perspective, Coach.
Listen, folks, listen. It is very easy to fall into legalism. Remember this. God said he made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. All God's laws are protective and blessing. All of them are. All of them are. Should we be following those? Yes. Yes. Is it mandatory? Do you get into heaven through rule following? No. But blessings follow obedience. That's all. Are you going to go to heaven even if you celebrated Sunday as the holy. Yeah. Yes. Yes. You don't earn your, you don't follow rules into heaven. You don't follow rules. This is why, right here, we're seeing it right here. This is why there's so much, what's the word? Tension in the church. That's why we have 44,000 denominations. Most of it based on, rule following. Psalm 2, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us, because he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Have who in derision? Those who sit up, those who have the bands. Oh, my goodness. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. Adam, or P.S., quickly. I got to run. Go. No. So I'm going to confess again today. Go ahead, P.S. Go ahead.
Are we supposed to live to what God's timing and rhythm to life is?
Are we supposed
to live to what God's timing, rhythm, cadence to life is, and not some made up Catholic whatever?
That's the battle, isn't it? That's why there's 44,000 different denominations. Everybody, come on now. Denominations are set up basically for everybody follows a set of rules and regulations that group of people believe. I mean, I don't have the answer to it. I'm just going to tell you what I tell you every time when we come here.
Why can't we try what God told us to do? Just try it.
Yeah,
we're not doing it. We're not earning salvation through it, but we're just trying to live on a set apart lifestyle.
Because God's laws are protective. It's like you tell your kid, don't eat so much sugar. It's not that you don't love them. It's that the sugar isn't good for them.
What makes us set apart? What makes us set apart and different from Babylon?
Give me the answer.
I'm just saying, try the timing. This is a great topic. Try the timing. Try the rhythm and cadence God told us to live by. It's totally changed my life.
Amen. Oh, my goodness. So again, what's the bottom line? I got to run. What's the bottom line? Huh? Folks, evil men have crept in unaware and they changed the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. So the scripture says, so much of what we do, I'm sorry, is religious nonsense. It's not even Christianity. It's a form of godliness denying the power thereof. That's the way that I see it. And I'm on a relentless pursuit of the truth. That's where you'll find me. See you tomorrow.